have a little thought that I'd like to present today. Help of the Lord. Over in the fourth chapter of Acts, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God in boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. I want to look at this 33rd verse. It says, and they gave witness, they gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. When Jesus came, he came for a purpose. Jesus came to go to the cross. He came to pay for our salvation. There was a number of people that experienced that very closely. There was some that, like Peter, who was there with the Lord, saw the miracles that Jesus had performed. They were impressive. Miracles like he turned the water into wine, but not only did he turn it into wine, he turned it into exceptional wine. He caused blind men who had never seen to see. He caused people that was lame from their birth to walk. He cast out legion from a man who had so many spirits he was called legion. He performed various healings, healings of the woman that had the issue of blood. He healed the man that laid beside the pool. All of these things were seen and witnessed by his apostles. He fed 5,000 people. On a couple occasions, he fed a number of people with where he caused the food to just increase itself. A great miracle. They actually took up more food at the end. Took up when he fed the 5,000, I think he took up 12 baskets full of food. When they got done, he'd overperformed, done the miracle, those miracles. And these things were witnessed by the apostles. And then Jesus' time came until he went to the cross. And they witnessed the trial. They witnessed the capture of Jesus. They witnessed him being mocked and ridiculed. They witnessed all that. They witnessed he was put on a cross. They witnessed that, and they witnessed the end of it, that Jesus lived, done the miracles, died. But then they also witnessed that Jesus resurrected. They talked with Jesus after he was crucified. When he came back, they witnessed that. Can you imagine what that would do for you if you had of actually experienced all of those things? You may have times where you slip up in the flesh, but I'm going to tell you, it'd be hard for you to ever forget those moments. Jesus spake as no other man spake. His words were absolutely of divine authority. But it would have been hard not to have recognized it and had that experience. So the apostles wasn't in question here. The apostles are here, but they wasn't in question here of of the witness that they had. They had a very powerful witness. You know, it's one thing, there's a number of issues that I laugh about, and you can believe whatever you want to about these kind of things, but you know, whether Bigfoot exists or Sasquatch run in the hills of Tennessee or whatever it is about that, usually when somebody says something about it, my experience is that, yeah, we've got a picture. Well, let me see the picture. Well, it ain't actually my picture. It's my uncle's picture. Well, can you get the picture? Well, yeah, I went and looked for the picture, but somebody else has got it right now. It's always a chase to try to get the evidence of some of these things that's supposed to be out there in this. And I may believe it, but me trying to convince you would be really hard unless I saw it for myself and I've experienced it. You know, I can say something about salvation because I've been saved. These apostles had the experience, but the main thing that I want to get to, the message today is give witness. It said that these people... Everybody, you know that the people that we, our family members, our neighbors, our friends, the people that we run into, they're not going to ever get to see Jesus feed 5,000 people. They're never going to get to see the woman with issue of blood healed. They're never going to get to see the blind man's eyes come open. They're never going to get to see him literally hanging on the cross. They're never going to get to see Jesus ascend. They're not going to see that. What they're going to get to see is after we get the experience of the Lord, they're going to get to see what Jesus came to do. The evidence of Christ being alive today is in His people. And them being able to do what He came to make us to do. They gave witness. It said that they gave great witness. A multitude of them believed were one heart and one soul. It said, and they gave great, and with great power. They gave the apostles. With great power, they were able to testify that Jesus lives. Jesus was resurrected. He does have power. He does have authority. He does help in my life. We can be bold enough if we dare to get bold enough to come and tell somebody that, listen, if you're not saved, you need to be saved. You need to go. I mean, if you want to go to heaven, you got to be saved. We can be bold enough to do all that stuff, but I want to ask you to be bolder than that. Be bold enough to live for God. Be bold enough to give yourself to the Lord enough for Him to be able to witness in your life. Because He came to change our lives. He came to make us different. He came to alter us. He will not change our personalities, but He alters who we are and how we think about things. With great power, because they had the experience now, you can say things better. You can say it because you believe. Belief is a choice. You can choose to believe that the Lord came to this earth and was born in a manger and grew up as a child. You can choose to believe that He was taken and crucified, and you can choose to believe that He was resurrected, but you can't make other people believe what you choose. But they gave a great witness. Something was. These people went forth with something to say that said, "I was there too. The Lord has done something for my life." We need to be able to testify. And sometimes, you know, there's an old children's song that says, "He's still working on me." Well, thank God that He's still working on us. But there needs to be something that the Lord's done. You can't go through all your life and just saying that the Lord's still working on me. There has to be an accomplishment of that somewhere. And we're to give a great witness to the world around us that there's something divine. There's something that's changed about our lives. And it's something that's made different just to claim Christianity. The worst thing to Christianity is Christianity, so-called. Because he came to do something. Christianity is basically Christ-likeness. To be like Christ. To have the compassion, the mercy, the long-suffering, to care. Those kind of things. That's what the Lord came to give us. He came to give us victory over the impulses, the natural impulses of our life. You may say, I've been an awful-tempered person. I get an awful temper and I fly off of that. I'm here to tell you that Jesus came to alter those kind of things. He came to change that, to give us a whole different disposition. You don't have to be that way. I talk about Brother Jim quite a bit, but he was such an example to me because Brother Jim was somebody that desired to be a gentle person. He just wanted to be it. I talked with him when he'd go to the altar for it. He wanted to be a gentle person. To me, he was a very gentle person. But to him, who knew that he wasn't, to him that knew that he was mean, that knew that he had been cruel, he testified about this. He told me when he come back from the army, out of World War II, when he come back, he said that he looked at his wife and child, and he said, I had no human emotions or feelings towards them whatsoever. He hardened himself at war to be a soldier, to kill, to do what he had to do. And when he come back home, he said he looked at them and he had no human feelings or emotions at them at all. His desire, if he had any, he told me that the only thing that he really cared about doing was to get with the people that had been in war too and talk about it and have a camaraderie with men, but he cared nothing about his own wife and child. But you know, that was changed. It was very deep, but it was changed. God came and gave him something and changed the whole thing. And he gave witness. He then became a witness, not of somebody that was cruel and mean, but of somebody that was gentle and kind, somebody that cared about other people. And he had a testimony, and something about him drew people to him. That was the Lord. He was giving witness that Jesus Christ was resurrected. Jesus is alive to work in our lives. There's a scripture in Isaiah 62 chapter, 62nd chapter, 10th verse says, Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people, give witness. This passage talking about cast, you know what that's talking about? Cast up. Make a way for those that's coming behind you. As a Christian, the number one idea, I suppose, of Christian, I know that we've got to keep our own lives clear. But the number one purpose and desire of a Christian is to affect other people towards Christianity. Not because it's some dogma or some feather in my cap to get people to believe like me, but because it's the truth for eternity. That our compassion and love for people ought to promote in us the idea to be able to witness to those that are around us. And what is the best way to do that is to prepare the way for them, to remove out of our lives obstacles. And do you know that it's very confusing? And Lord help us, we've all been in there and made the mistake. But you know, it's very confusing for people that's looking and needing something to look at Christians, and the only testimony you have is that I'm a sinner? Well, if all you can testify to me about is that you're a sinner and I need help, I can sin too. I need something more than just a testimony that the Christian world wants to tell us today that we're just sinners. Well, that ain't the testimony. The testimony is that we're followers of Jesus Christ. That we have something more in our lives than sin. We have the nature of Christ put in us. Well, there's something different than that. I know the doctrine well. We're not secured here in this life that we can't sin, but we got that by the grace of God we can live without it. That's what grace came to do, was to give us a power and authority over ourselves. I don't have to lie. I don't have to cheat on my wife. I don't have to hate my neighbor, no matter what he does. I don't have to, because there's the grace of God that will fill my life and give me something more. I'm going to tell you, sometimes I'm challenged. Sometimes I have to go and get the more grace that's available. But give witness of Christ. If he's done something in your life, give witness to that something. This passage of Scripture in Isaiah is talking about setting up a standard for the people. It's not you. So don't. There's no need to feel like I'm embarrassed because of something, because it's not you. Always remember, your testimony is of God. What God has done. But it says to set up a standard. You know what that means? Means, well, the old idea of a standard was pretty common in war. The standard of the outfit designated the ground that they hold. This is where we're at. They had a standard. It was literal. It was like a pennant on a pole. And it represented, sometimes it was in colors, sometimes it was different things, but it represented in battle what we've won. This is where we stand. If you want to know where I'm at, look at my standard. That's where we're at. Our standard is a standard of love. The banner over us, it says in Songs of Solomon, is a banner of love. Our pennant is one of righteousness. Our pennant is one of love and righteousness and holiness in the Lord. That is our pennant. That's where we stand, not claiming that we're just a bunch of sinners that can't do no better. Without Christ, we can do no better. It isn't anything in us. We can't make a brag or a boast, but we're not bragging and boasting about ourselves. We're giving great witness to the resurrection of Christ. Jesus has resurrected, and in that resurrection has it empowered us as Christian people with the Spirit of God, and that we can have victory in our lives every day. Every day. The truth about it is that when we become indifferent to the power, when we don't seek God, we don't do that, then the flesh is going to start taking out, we're going to start going away from it, but there's still the grace of God. Thank the Lord for it. But the scripture says, go through. Prepare the way of the people. Prepare the way of the people. I was always amazed at this. I've known situations to where, I want to say this as gently as I can, and I ain't going to put no names to it, but people that would bash the congregation and the church of God. I mean, bash them with critical thinking to their children and with their children and to their unsaved husbands or unsaved wives. And then they would come to Wednesday night prayer meeting and say, oh, pray for my companion, pray for my children that they'd be saved and want to come to church. Well, why would anybody want to go to church like that? Understand what I'm saying? Set the path. Be what they're supposed to be. It's easy to look at somebody and say you're supposed to be this. Sometimes it's hard to look and say I'm supposed to be this. Be what you're supposed to be. That's the example. Is Christ real? Well, yes, he's real because there's people that is exhibiting qualities of Jesus. There's people there that can face the storms of life with faith. They can face persecution and adversity with peace in their heart. They can love when they're unloved. They can bless when they're cursed. They can speak kindness when they're ridiculed. They can reach out love and compassion when everything around them is evil and mean. Because Christ lives. And when that's looked at, people are going to have to ask the question, where'd you get that? There's an old story. Brother Mansell might remember because it's back in the old saint categories here. But there was a story of a guy, of a saint brother, who a man got in a disturbance with, and the man hauled off and hit this saint brother. Remember that, Brother Mansell? And the guy ended up testifying that he saw God. He got angry and lost his temper and hit this brother. But in the meanwhile, his testimony was that I faced God. I saw God in that. Oh, you can act ugly and defend yourself and you can do all those kind of things, but they're not going to see God. They're not going to see Jesus lifted up. Sometimes God allows these things to happen in our lives to show those. You start praying, I'm praying for my family. I'm going to pray and do this. I want them to see God. You want to see that? You know, a lot of times he's going to pick you to be the example to show God. Now you want them to see God? I'm going to put you in a place to let them see God in you. Do you know that that he can do exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask or think? But sometimes we stop. But that says according to the power that worketh in us. God can do anything, but he doesn't do anything outside the power that's working in us, that's showing what the Lord really is. So it says, this scripture says, cast up. Cast up, you know what that means? Cast up, cast up the highway. You know what that's talking about? It's talking about building a road. It's really hard to travel and get anywhere and go anywhere. And it would be the same here, especially in the mountains. You understand this real well. If you was to take off and go from here to Elkins without getting on the road. If you walk from here to Elkins without getting on the road, and you'll pass streams, you'll go through mud, you'll go over the mountains, you'll have to go to the rocks. What this scripture is that for many people, that's too much. It's too much sometimes for our family members. It's too much for the weak sometimes. It's too much for that. So he's telling us as Christians, cast up, build a road for them. Help them to understand and have a better way than that. Take the things out of their life. You know, being honest with you, a smart answer or a ridicule never really helps anybody. To say to somebody how bad you are for being bad. Well, I suppose they probably know how bad they are for being bad. That really doesn't help much to give them more sorrow and more of that. He says, cast up. How about take some stones out of their lives? How about remove some of the burdens? How about helping them make it easier? This is what the scripture is talking about. A highway is easy to travel on. You can get to Elkins easy from here if you stay on the road. There's nothing hard about that. It's easy. You notice if they get a hole, they want to patch it. If there's a bump, they want to level it. If there's a curve too sharp, they want to straighten it. Why? Because they want to be able to get there better, easier. You know, here last summer they had the project down here next to Cass around the turn there at Barford. It's been there that way for years and years. Well, I think they lost some of it with sliding the way they had to do. They took it all off. Why'd they do it? Because people going to go from here to Cass. That's why. And how else would you go? Well, you could go the old way. I walk it sometimes, but it's quite a journey up the old way up around there. Cast up. Take the stones out. You know what? The stones we need to be worrying about, the place that we need to do, is our own lives. Lord, help me to take care of that attitude I have. It might be detrimental to somebody, not only detrimental to me, it might be detrimental to a lot of people that's around my life. If I'm really going to show the witness, if I'm really going to show the witness of Christ and show that he resurrected, it won't be from smashing my finger with the hammer and then throwing the hammer across the room and breaking a bunch of stuff up. I can guarantee you that's not persuasive to people that Jesus was risen when I can't take care of the own things of my own life, because that's what he came to do, to make us new creature, to change us, to give us a grace that is not our own, to give us a power that's not our own, to give us victory that we can have no other way, to help us to love people when we're hated, to be able to inspire and encourage others, because Jesus lives. And he isn't exempting himself from anybody in this room. He wants to be in every one of our lives. Cast up, it says. Make a highway. Something is in. Gather out the stones. The hard places. The difficult places. They claimed that Interstate 79 from Charleston to wherever, I don't know, does it leave the state? I guess it does. 79 does go into Pittsburgh, or go in towards into Pennsylvania. I've heard years ago that Interstate 79 costs more to build than the whole interstate system of the state of Iowa. Iowa's flat, and they built a road on it fairly easy, but 79, if you ever go and look at it, it was a series of, oh, I don't know, it starts at number one, I don't know what it is, it's 99 at 105 up to Clarksburg, I don't know how far it is up there, less than 200 miles, I suppose, but it was 200 miles of cut and fill. You had to cut the mountain, and you had to fill with that, you had to fill the valleys, you had to put in the drainage. It was an enormous, enormous job. But I'm going to tell you, from people that's in Morgantown going to Charleston, that's the way to go. It takes out so much curves and winds, and you know over where the New River Gorge Bridge is? Do you know before they put that bridge in there what you had to do? You went down the one side and then you went back up the other. And now it's just a few hundred yards across it and you're gone. This passage of scriptures means something. There may be people coming behind you in your life that needs you to be the New River Gorge Bridge because they can't make it down and back. They need for us to get the stones out of the way, the obstacles out of our way. Need to be in a good example of encouragement. God made it that way. God loves everybody, but he also said that he was going to choose the foolishness of preaching to save those that was lost. Going to use human instrumentality. He was going to use vessels of clay to promote his gospel. I suppose God could just visit everybody in one big time tonight, make a time that God's going to appear, and he's going to appear to all of us and tell us all the gospel, but that's not the way he chose it. He chose to put it in the mouths of clay and to put it into people's lives to be able to tell people around us. It's more than just us. We're not on an island, folks. When you claim the name of Christ, you'll be looked at. You'll be seen. There's another passage of scripture. Oh, let's see. Which one I want? Hebrews 12. I'm going to go back to get the thought just a little bit. 10th verse says, "For they verily for a few days," this is the 12th chapter of Hebrews, "for they verily for a few days chasten you after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and feeble knees." Now, I'm going to get the whole thought here, but here's the idea. Woe is me! Poor, poor me! Oh, life is just so hard, it's so difficult. I ask my foreign friends when they start that, "Well, is God not on his throne today? Is God not God today? Doom, gloom, and despair. Everything's falling down. I'm in his awful shape. Well, where's God? Where's the God that we have faith in? Yeah, these things may be true. I don't want anybody to take the notion to deny reality. That's not me to say I ain't claiming something. That ain't me. If it's there, it's there. But we got a God that's bigger than what's there. I'm trusting God no matter what the circumstance is. God's bigger than all the things that we face, folks. He's bigger than all that. When those things come, that's the... You know, if it was all sunshine and pretty, it wouldn't be no... reason. Everybody gonna get along good in that. God's gonna give us times to be able to show what it's like to really be a Christian in a time of trouble. Those kind of things is where it shines. You can light a candle in the middle of noonday with the sun bright and shining down on it, and that candle don't do much. But light that thing at midnight with no moon and no electric lights and nothing on, light it then it has some power to do something. It's the way the Christian life is. This talking here says to lift up your hands that hang down. Don't walk around. We serve God. Quit being so discouraged about everything. Quit showing the world misery. We serve God. It means something to that in the middle of it. Why are they different in the middle of the problem? There is the story. I don't know it exactly, but I do appreciate what I was told about it. Do you remember several years ago, maybe it was the Sago mine over in Upshur County, where they ended up thinking that lightning actually struck their rail line. They had their little rail thing went in there. I'm not sure exactly, but it caused an explosion in the mines. Y'all remember that, a fire in the mines? This was told by the only survivor of the mine. It was a young man who, in the mines, they have what they called self-contained self-rescuers, and it doesn't give you oxygen. But what it does, it filters out carbon monoxide, which is the smoke poison. It just simply filters it out. They're good for a couple minutes, a few minutes at the top. But the filters, and the device gets really hot. I used to wear them a lot. I never, thank God, had a reason to ever put one in my mouth. But you put them on, these rescuers on, they create a lot of heat while they're doing it, but they filter out the carbon monoxide until you're able to breathe what oxygen is in the air to be able to give you a limited time to get to a safe place. That's what the self-rescuer, it's law by law in the mines, you have to have one on. So all the men had one on. And when this happened, there was a number of men in there, and they all gave their rescuers to the young man with the family. There was a pastor in there with them. He tells the story because he made it out far enough before he passed out, and he went to the ground, which was to the floor, which was the most likely place to live, with everything on the ceiling, and he survived. He's alive today, as far as I know. He survived because this pastor had said to them, "We're not going to make it. Let's give him a chance." And according to him, the pastor got the men around him, and they prayed salvation for them all to God before they died. Now, I don't know about you, but this is a Christ-like moment to me. They sacrificed any hope and chance they had to give to the young man with the family, the youngest one of the bunch, and they gave themselves to God. I think Jesus lives. This man testified greatly without panic. He believed in the God. I don't know what his religion was, but I'll say this. He believed enough in God that God would take him, that they was okay. And he prayed for them there in that moment. Do you really think the world's impressed when Christianity goes around with their head down and doom and gloom and there's nothing hopeful or nothing good? They've got that. The world's got misery and heartache. And for us to worry about, I mean, I know we take seriously, and we should, the events of life. We pray about them and all those kind of things. But really, should I be totally disturbed without peace because Putin's got his army on the Ukraine border? I hope it never happens, and God have mercy when it does. But God's still God to us. He's still on the throne. I'm not going to live on this earth forever. I know that already. But Jesus is alive. Jesus still works for us to be able to promote it in life. Get the stones out. Pick it up for the next person. Somebody's, lift your hands up. Get strength to your knees. You know, I can't go to work. I'm scared. Strengthen yourself. Come on, the Lord wants you to get up and go. In 13th verse says, and make straight paths for your feet. Why? Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Make straight paths for your feet because somebody's following. Somebody's going to come along. I think it's dangerous to do it. We're not supposed to always compare ourselves among ourselves and those kind of things. We need to live for the Lord individually, each and one of us. But you know, the Apostle Paul knew that the nature of men and the nature of the miracles and power that God exhibited through him, he knew that people was going to look at him. And so he told them that I am a simple man with God's grace. But he also said, follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't say follow me like a lot of men would like to say. You all follow me and you'll be all right. You guys couldn't do no better than following old Brother Marty because he's got it right. Just listen to what I tell you and you'll be just fine. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You don't want to follow me if I ain't following Christ. Find Christ for yourself that you know the difference to whether I'm following him or I'm not following him. But you know, good, godly, holy men are to be followed. Of course they are. I've had great examples in my life of people that I... Brother Salmon's, I mean, the man had such a diligent, prayerful life. He prayed. I look at that and say, wow, that was so impressive. God worked in his life. You know, sometimes we think of all that we can do. You know what, Brother Salmon's is? He always looked at it all of his life as being a detriment to him. Brother Salmon's thought that his lack of education hindered him from the work of the Lord. You know what it really did? It made a lot of us look and say, what can God do with an ignorant old country boy from Kentucky? What can God... God took him and done something, and so his lack of education, Paul wasn't lacking in education. He sanctified that through the Lord, and the Lord used his education. But Samson didn't have education, and the Lord took that being sanctified and made God, and it glorified and exalted God because he looked at this old ignorant, uneducated Kentucky boy that had an unusual and great ability to understand God's work and had an ability to touch God through prayer and could preach, and he would... You think I mangle the English language? I'm way better than Brother... Brother Salmons could really mangle the English language when he preached, but you couldn't hardly even tell that he was mangling it because the Spirit of the Lord most of the time was blessing him so much that you just in... Just... He was so touched by the message. Yeah, he didn't get all these words right. His grammar was bad and his pronunciation was bad and his sentence structure was horrible, but he sure touched the soul when the Lord got a hold of it. We are not on an island, folks. We're not supposed to be on an island. We're to live with people. You might be the person that helps me get to heaven. I might be the one that helps you. And we might be the one that changes our family members. When we give, listen, it's not you. Don't claim it. Just give it to God. Lord, help me to be everything I'm supposed to be. You know the passage of Scripture that says, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me? That lifting up is the lifting up in your personal life. If I be lifted up, if you lift up my life in your life, I will draw people. You are not responsible for the drawing. You are responsible for the lifting up. If I lift up God, it'll make a difference in people's life. I don't want to be the phony about it, but I think there is things that I purposely want to do. I want to help people. So I look for places that I can help somebody out because I do care. And I want sometimes people that don't feel like, and I seem to be drawn to them more than the others. But when somebody seems to be in that place to where they don't seem like they're cared about, I want them to know they're cared about. I want them to know that God loves them. And they, if they don't know the Lord, they won't know. But they can know that there's a person that does and why. And then that's where they learn that Jesus has been resurrected in our lives. I think maybe I have... one more scripture that just goes along with the... It's in Matthew 3. I think. Matthew 3. It's about John the Baptist. It says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of the one, crying in the wilderness, listen, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. In the same idea that John came and to a nation, to the nation of Israel, John came preparing the way of the Lord, or making the road easier. It was going to be easier because John had come. He smoothed the road out for Jesus. He proclaimed that repentance was at hand. There's one coming. John was supercharged. God had blessed John to be notable. It was hard to say John wasn't a prophet. John had something from God and they recognized it. But he wasn't the one that was saying to them what right and wrong. And you, there was another force. There was something else coming. I'm not him. But he prepared people's hearts. Do you know that one of our duties as Christians is to prepare people's hearts? We're to touch them. So that in the day, this is scripture, so in the day of their visitation, when God visits them, they'll remember. They'll look and know that they've been touched. You don't know when the day of visitation is. I'm going to tell you, you can do something for someone and show them a Christian kindness, and it may be years, but someday that might bear fruit for it. Our purpose is to prepare the way in people's souls with kindness and goodness and these things, and prepare the way. I've seen it over and over. There is people saved today that in my flesh I would have said there is no way they'd ever be saved. They're so far away. Then I'll remember back that people said that about me. You know, when I got saved as a young man, and I got saved, there was people around that said, I never thought that guy. I just want to tell you, you don't know what's going on in people's lives. And there is people that have gotten saved and making a real run for the Lord that you just never would have thought was a... But our duty as Christians is to give witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is resurrected, to give witness of that his characteristics have come alive in my life. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.